Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hey, happy hump day, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Social. We'd like to welcome to the panel today stand-up comedian Vong Sho. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Thank you so much. We're going to dive into some hot topics now with you, Vong. Listen, a Hamilton, Ontario Catholic school has canceled a screening of Lightyear for their kindergarten to grade 3 students over what they deem, quote, questionable content. So the movie has faced its share of controversy for including a same-sex kiss between two women. Reminder, this is an animation, but Vaughn, your thoughts on this? Was the school justified?
No, actually, I think the only questionable content was the letter that they wrote to the parents.
Whoa.
Because for me, you know, if it's about quote unquote protecting your children, like they say, all you have to do is not sign the permission slip. There you go. But once it becomes, and once it becomes about canceling the whole trip for everybody, then what you're doing is imposing your views, which is ironic because that's what they're accusing the movie of doing.
Wow.
That's a good point. It's a good
Does
point.
It matter that it's a Catholic school? I mean,
you know, I have to say, I grew up in Manitoba, so we didn't have a Catholic school system. I'm kind of being introduced to it, and I went to university in Calgary, so that's my first time running into that. But I think, you know, when we're talking about imposing views, you know, I'm assuming these are Catholic views that they're imposing. I don't know. I just think it's hypocritical to be imposing their views instead of just taking their own children out.
Tammy on Facebook, I think she agrees. She says, yes, one of these days at least should. Oh, my God, that's from yesterday's show, you guys. Let's go Serena. To Serena on Facebook. My 7-year-old went with the grade ones at her school and had a blast. She loved the movie. The school did give the option to all the parents if they wanted their kids to see it or not, which is how it should be. Kids don't care who kisses who. That kind of prejudice is taught. It's not something you're born with.
Amen, for that, Serena.
But you guys saw the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. And if I'm understanding it correctly, there is some violence in it. And the school was very careful in the way they worded this. They're saying questionable content. So it could be violence. It could be the mediocre reviews, maybe, that the film is getting. No, it's not. Or it could be the kiss. And if it is the kiss, you know, it does, you know, on the heels of Pride right now, like, it does feel like we're still light years away. Anyway,
Yeah, I think they probably would have said they were worried about violent content.
They would have been more explicit.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the subtext is that they had a problem with the kiss. And it's funny, Mel and I went to see this movie, and the kiss, I didn't even notice it.
It was a non-event.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, there's a lesbian couple here. Lovely. Move along. Yeah. It was certainly not problematic for me. But I did find some parts of the movie problematic in terms of, now this, let's put it in context. We watched this movie almost, I feel like, very shortly after the mass shooting in Texas.
Right.
And so that wasn't that far off my mind. And this was surprising. When you think about Toy Story, you think about origin stories, I think a lot of that kind of images come to mind of like sort of benign, you know, there's no violence, just kind of sunny days and some, you know.
Talking toys.
Yeah. It's not that. So I'm surprised that a 7-year-old was fine. I was watching it the whole time and I was thinking, I'm not letting Jaya see this right now. I felt for my family that it was too much guns. I felt like and actually some of it also felt like I could picture the boardroom meeting of like, what are the kids into today? Like they're into Stranger Things. They're into, let's make it feel like a roller coaster and like bamboozle and all this stuff. And I was just like, it was too much. I felt quite stressed out watching it. So it was too much for me. That's all to say that I agree that it is the parent's choice. But if a parent
so you would have signed that. Yeah.
If I didn't know, I would have been like, Lightyear, sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think we're skirting around maybe one of the most obvious concerns for me, which is the Catholic aspect of this. It's a Catholic school, and we don't know exactly what they meant by questionable content, but I'm going to take a leap and just guess that probably hearing that there was a same-sex kiss in here between two minority women, is potentially the questionable content. And I'm gonna tell you something. I got a couple of very strong words to say. And Mom, who is a devout Catholic, I'm sorry. This is precisely the reason why I pulled my daughter out of Catholic school. I cannot say that enough. This is so far from Jesus's teachings to to say we're going to shield our children from a same-sex kiss, if that's the reason why they pulled this trip, this is precisely the reason. Newsflash, Jesus was an activist. Newsflash, where would you find Jesus? Not in the ivory towers. You would find him in the streets with the most marginalized, vulnerable, oppressed people. And who is that still today? It is still the gay community, the LGBTQ2+ community. It is still Black Lives. And I'm just sick of the hypocrisy. And yeah, sure, let the parents opt in, opt out, but I'm not letting the parents off the hook. Huh. Why is your child in Catholic school? I gotta ask the question. And are you okay with this as a Catholic?
Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying this, Melissa Grello. Mm-hmm.
I'm just heated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm heated.
And I understand
I'm angry.
Why.
The contradictory.
I love it. They always come for me. Like, Sydney, what's your problem with Catholicism? They're coming for you today.
And you know what? I was a born and raised Catholic.
I will back you up.
Born and raised Catholic with a Filipino family who does very good things through the church. I am saying both things can exist.
Yes.
The church can do amazing things, and the church can also hurt a lot of people. I'm just not willing to allow them to hurt people, including my daughter's brain, for the sake of what?
Wow.
You're not getting my tax money anymore.
Okay, well, let's leave that there in terms of what's appropriate for kids and move on to something that is definitely not kid-friendly. But one of my favorite topics, can you imagine dating Elvis Presley just to get back at your ex?
What?
That is what Rita Moreno says she did.
Oh, she's great.
The Oscar winner, she recently revealed that she went out with the king just to get back at Marlon Brando, who was cheating on her. So let's share our thoughts on revenge cheating.
I'm sorry, Rita was just living her best life.
Yeah.
She's my new hero.
For the record, I do not condone any kind of cheating. I don't think what she did was cheating. It wasn't cheating because she said it was an on and off again relationship.
Yes.
So I have had many...
It's a technicality.
It's not a technicality. Words matter. I've had flings on a breakup. And you know why? Because sometimes the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody.
My God, that is a line.
I mean that as a confidence booster. Like, you know, if you're having a downtime and you're just like, my self-esteem is in the pits, and this guy just doesn't appreciate me, I'm going to find somebody who does. Sometimes that's all you need to just be like, oh. Sorry, you noticed that somebody else wants this? Oh. So I'm not mad at her for this. And I do think that in the age of sexual freedom for women, if this is what you need to do, Rita, you go get yours.
Well, the only thing with that, and Vong, I want to hear from you, but I just want to say, the only thing I wonder is that she even admits that she thought that Elvis was boring. So was she doing it for her pleasure? We know also research shows that women on a one-night stand hookup, straight women, generally don't have orgasms. So is it really for her pleasure, or is she doing it just to get back? And maybe that
she
brings her pleasure anyway.
She didn't know he was boring until after the date. Aren't you going to be interested? I'd be interested.
She still went out with him multiple times. She's had dates. Bob, what do you think?
Personally, I'm all for revenge cheating.
There you go.
All for revenge cheating. Y'all have no idea how petty I am. I am super petty. If you hurt me, I will hurt. It's like the law of equilibrium. Right. The more you hurt, the better I feel.
Yeah.
And what's even better than revenge cheating is gay revenge cheating.
Why?
Because
what's the difference?
Because like you can cheat with their ex. You can make it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You can cheat with somebody who has rejected them.
Love it.
The layers.
Oh,
Lots of layers. Yes.
Interesting.
I also, on no technicalities, I have revenge cheated more than once. It is super fun. I have no regrets about it ever. Not just for the ego, but like even for the animal kingdom of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it does play out like a movie scene. Like, I've been on a trip and revenge cheated on somebody. And so you meet the person, you meet a guy, and what are you doing here? Oh, just having a drink. Why do you seem so sad? My boyfriend cheated on me. Some kind of lion comes out of that other person, and now they want to flex dunk on the person who cheated on you.
Really?
They bring out their best. They bring out their best at the bar, on the dance floor, and in the bedroom after. Because in their minds, they're enjoying you while getting one over on the guy who cheated on you. It is amazing.
I feel like I've so missed out because I've never done it. I've always felt like living well is the best revenge. But then it's just occurred to me,
living well,
like showing them, like, look at my friends, look at my family, look at me hair flip at a villa. Like, that's good revenge.
Cheating well.
But maybe living well is lying under Elvis Presley, yeah, sure. As you so eloquently said.
Or the person who ends up being your husband, because yes. One of my cheats was with Yasik, who brought it and brought it and brought it, and I married him. And it's been 20 years.
Did you know that, Kwame?
What is the moral of this story? Kwame would like to know. It's okay. Your marriage is good. Your marriage is good.
Wow.
Well, we've had all the revelations. Clearly, I think revenge cheating's
you
okay.
You knew that I was with another guy.
I don't know if I knew
guy.
That.
You knew I was with another guy when I met you.
Well, it hit me like I hadn't.
Okay, comedy is what we are debating next. In an interview with the Irish Times, British comedian Rowan Atkinson said it's comedy's job to offend and that cancel culture shouldn't drain it of its potential. Vong, I can't wait to hear your thoughts about this.
I think, honestly, I don't think cancel culture has been going too far in comedy. I think the only thing going too far in comedy is complaining about cancel culture. I can't take this. Every time I open up Netflix or HBO, I'm just seeing another straight white guy for 60 minutes talk about how hard it is to be a comedian and how they can't say what they want to say.
On their Netflix show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And so for me, it's like, you know, I feel like if you're so afraid of being canceled, just quit. Like, just quit because, you know, stand-up comedy, it takes a certain amount of bravery. And everything I say on stage, it's in joke form, but I believe in it. So if you're offended by what I say on stage, you'll be offended with me in real life, too. And for me, the only two things that I think about of whether I'll say something is, do I stand behind it enough that I'll defend it if somebody gets upset with me? If it's yes, then I'll do it. The other thing, too, is I think, would I say that in front of the people that I'm making fun of? Mm-hmm. Because I started out in Alberta. In my comedy career, I was like the only Asian comedian, the only gay comedian in a lineup for like 10 years.
Wow.
And I remember my very first comedy special in Alberta was called I Hate White People.
In Alberta. Wow.
But it was in front of an audience of all white people because I wanted to challenge their views because in Alberta, it's really common to say there's no such thing as racism.
Yeah.
We've moved past it. We're post-racial. So I was like, I'll show you racism. And then they'd call me a racial slur. And then I'd be like, now we can talk. Now we can keep it real.
Wow.
Let's not pretend. But because it was in front of all white people, I felt like I could call it I Hate White People. But if it was like, you know, it's like if somebody's making fun of like Chinese people in front of all white people, then maybe it's different. It's like, are you daring enough to say it in front of those people? And like I said, if you don't have that bravery, if you're too worried of getting canceled, just quit.
Yeah.
Just quit. I'm tired.
But is it also...
I love that.
Is it also the idea of punching up versus punching down? In other words, you know, punching down people, I think universally agree that that's a no-go zone. If you're punching down to somebody who... when you bring in intersectionality, is that a difference?
I think, you know, I have a somewhat differing view of this from, like, a lot of my friends. A lot of my friends work in human rights. But for me, because I grew up in Manitoba, in Winnipeg, murder capital of Canada, very rough neighborhood. And, like, you know, like, in our culture, it's like, you know, trash talking or making fun of each other was actually a way to uplift each other. It's sort of like a challenge. So it's like, if we didn't like somebody, we would ignore them. But if we're like trash talking or making fun of, it's actually an invitation. It's actually saying you're my equal, and I think you can rise to the challenge.
Oh, interesting.
And so, you know, I guess for me, the idea of punching down never came to my mind because why would you challenge somebody who you didn't think could fight back?
That's
like
interesting.
To me, I wouldn't even think.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
I think that's a really. I mean, I think that's an interesting perspective given the generation of comic that you come from. I mean. A lot of the ones complaining about cancel culture are the generation that came before you. And I say this because one of the most exciting comics working today is Jared Carmichael. Mm-hmm. His special, which is on Crave, Rathaniel, just came out. And he came out in the special about 3 months ago. And so he, as a black young comic, obviously looks up to somebody like Dave Chappelle, who would have shaped his career. So when asked recently what Jared thinks of Dave Chappelle, his answer was amazing, and it kind of changed my perspective on how to view the Dave Chappelle thing. And Jared said, well, I mean, if that's the hill he wants to go out on, I'm gay, my comedy is relating to a young generation of people who are offended by Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle now, as Jared said, if you Google him, is known for one thing, stomping on trans people, and that lives forever. He's a guy who did
the racial draft. He's a guy who did so many great jokes. But the only thing that people bring up right now in relation to Dave Chappelle, this comic with such a great library of jokes, is, oh, that guy who attacked trans people. That's on Google. Mm. That's a generation. And so Jared McCarmichael was like, okay, that's the legacy you want to leave? Mm-hmm. You do you. And that to me was so brilliant.
It's a great way to look at it, but the trouble with that, as I have read, is Dave Chappelle holds so much power and sway. And the idea of punching down that he's been accused of is that his words carry a consequence, not for him, for trans people. The attitude that someone might carry running into a trans person, if you are a huge fan of Dave Chappelle's, mm-hmm. is that there are real life consequences for the jokes he makes.
And he has to wear that.
Well, he has to wear that, but people are getting beaten and die.
I mean,
this is what I'm saying.
That's part of his legacy. If people die because of your jokes, that's what shows up on Google in 50 years, in 75 years. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
But his peers, I feel like Dave Chappelle hasn't, like, going back to what you said, people were going saying that there's a problem in comedy about being canceled. I can't think of a comedian that has actually been canceled. There have been consequences, but Dave Chappelle just introduced Jon Stewart on stage at the Mark Twain Comedy Awards in front of his peers to massive applause. So there is not, like, consequences.
Louis C.K. just won a Grammy.
Oh, my God. Let's move on from that. Well, this next topic might also offend a woman, get this, on TikTok, that's what I said, has left people divided after slamming her boyfriend for wearing socks on the beach. Is this a fashion crime or a good way to protect your footsies from the sun? Go!
I would leave this person immediately.
What?
Well, listen, I'm being a bit dramatic, but the first thing I do when I get home is take off my socks. I have hot, feet that run hot, and still half of me. They're sweaty, they're hot under there. I want my socks off immediately and for comfort. I try to take Jaya's socks off immediately. So the idea of going to a beach and having sex with a person who goes to the beach with socks on is, to me, I can't abide it. I can't.
He's hot, though.
I mean, he was very hot.
He was
I wasn't
so
looking
hot.
At his feet.
Exactly. I was like, oh,
hi.
Okay.
Hi.
We're
like,
so good looking.
To a shot. Socks on the beach.
Five. So true.
I think the reality is that sand gets very hot. Flip-flops and sandals, let's be honest, barely do the job. And then your feet get all, if they are sweaty, they're going to get, the sand. I love the beach. I hate sand.
What? Yeah.
Sand is annoying. Ugh. It gets everywhere.
It's just, we need to get your hot take on this one.
I am 100% on the side of socks.
Yes.
Really?
100%.
Yes. Okay. On the beach.
On the beach. Okay, so I grew up playing beach volleyball. And you wear performance-enhancing socks on the beach. It actually helps you play volleyball. And
Protection.
A good analogy is they're kind of wearing performance-enhancing socks on the beach is like wearing flippers in water or wearing snowshoes when you're walking. Like, it actually helps you jump higher.
For her pleasure.
Higher.
That's what I thought it was.
Wow.
It's a racial divide.
This is dividing people.
Yeah.
You have tonight, you are hosting a queer comedy show. It's entitled Fruit. And you are celebrating Pride. This is a massive all-star lineup as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your show?
Well, first of all, it's just nice to be celebrating Pride live for the first time in 3 years. And the lineup tonight, I'm so, so happy with it. We've got Ted Morris and Martha Chavez, who honestly, when I was growing up as a comedian, they were my mentors. And then when I got into the industry, they then mentored me like in person instead of just seeing them on TV. And then to close out the show, we have Robert Watson, who is a Canadian Comedy Award winner, and he's recording his first ever comedy album, really excited.
Wow. That's great.
That's fantastic. We want to tell everybody who's watching, if you are in the Toronto area, you can get tickets to tonight at the Rivoli, tickets available at the door. Vong, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride indeed.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.